Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Late last week, the Environmental Protection Agency announced plans to roll back Obama-era methane regulations. The proposed change will eliminate federal rules requiring oil and gas companies to monitor their natural gas wells, pipelines, and storage facilities for methane leaks. Environmental organizations, climate scientists, and public health groups like the American Lung Association have all spoken out against this rollback, and it's unclear how this ruling will help the bottom line for energy companies. Juliet Eilprin is a Washington Post senior national affairs correspondent, and she's been reporting on the EPA under the Trump administration. Juliet, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
So why did the Trump administration decide to roll back this particular regulation? I mean, is this part of the ongoing efforts by the administration to essentially roll back everything that the Obama administration did when it comes to the environment?
Well, that's certainly part of the broader pattern, although the way that the Trump administration would phrase it is this is following an executive order that the president himself put out urging the expansion of domestic energy production across the country, including fossil fuels. And in that context, they are making it easier for companies to, say, extract oil and gas in the U.S. And so they are arguing that by easing federal regulations, they're making it easier for domestic producers to take oil and gas out of the ground and ship it around the country and overseas.
And just taking a step back here, I think, the assumption is that we all know what methane is. But what is methane and how is it used in production?
So methane is a greenhouse gas that's quite potent. In the first 20 years that it's in the atmosphere, for example, it's roughly 80 times as powerful in terms of trapping heat as carbon dioxide. It is a component of natural gas and oil that escapes at times, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, when you are, for example, drilling a well. And so in some cases, for example, companies deliberately flare, they release methane and burn it, and that emits greenhouse gases to the atmosphere. In other times, again, it's not on purpose, and that's part of the debate, that basically if the operators can capture methane, then to some extent it becomes part of a commodity that they can later sell. And so sometimes it's released accidentally, sometimes intentionally, but in all cases it's serving as a heat trapping gas that's contributing to climate change. If the question is, would it be realistic to ask the industry to comply with the existing standards of limiting a greenhouse gas methane from their operations, many of these companies say that they're doing it and it makes good business sense. There are some smaller producers who objected to this rule.
So let's talk about the difference between how large energy companies responded to the deregulation versus smaller energy companies.
So there was absolutely a split within the oil and gas industry on this question. You had a number of large companies like BP, Shell, and Exxon who had actually lobbied the Trump administration to keep this federal rule in place. So at least a couple of them, BP and Shell, have pledged to continue reducing their methane emissions regardless of what the federal rules are. On the other hand, you had a number of small companies that make up a significant chunk of the industry. The three companies I mentioned, for example, produce 11% of the natural gas in the United States, but there are tons of smaller companies that are very active in this space. They argued, while they do have an economic incentive to curb methane emissions, they found the rules that were requiring them to, for example, limit emissions all along the kind of from when they're drilling a well to when they're transporting it through pipelines and when they're storing it, they argued this was adding cost to their operations and they wanted those rules lifted.
Juliet, I'm curious about the way large companies, in particular car companies, are responding and pushing back against the Trump administration's deregulation. What does it tell us about this particular rule?
What we see as the Trump administration tries to target these rules curbing greenhouse gases linked to climate change is that there's a split between the ideological position of this administration and the private sector. So we've seen this in a couple of areas. When it comes to auto companies, the car sector has been meeting targets established under the Obama administration to improve the fuel efficiency of cars and light trucks. And as they initially had approached the Trump administration and asked for the easing of these mileage standards. But when the Trump administration came out with a very ambitious rollback of these standards and essentially said that autos won't have to become more efficient, they encountered significant pushback from California and more than a dozen other states that are seeking to make mileage standards tighter. And as a result, the auto companies, faced with the fact that they want to produce vehicles for a single market, started talking privately to California, and recently four major automakers struck a deal with California saying that they would essentially meet roughly the same targets that the Obama administration had already outlined. So what you're seeing is in a lot of cases, the private sector is saying, look, we're reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We're doing this either for a practical reason or in terms of our public standing with consumers. If we're a public-facing company, we don't want to be seen as doing nothing on climate change. And so you've seen this schism, and we've seen this in the auto industry, and we've also seen it in the power sector, where power companies, which just got a rule from the Trump administration saying they did not have to curb greenhouse gases as efficiently as they had before, said, you know what? We're on target to cut these carbon dioxide emissions, and we're going to press ahead.
We know Andrew Wheeler was confirmed as the EPA chief back in February. This is happening under his watch. How is he doing the job differently from his predecessor, Scott Pruitt?
From a policy standpoint, there's very little difference between Andrew Wheeler and Scott Pruitt. Both of them are firmly committed to deregulation, particularly in this area when it comes to climate change. And Andrew Wheeler is pressing ahead with nearly all of the policies that were initially started by Scott Pruitt. There are a couple of minor differences, but for the most part, he's forging ahead. Certainly, as someone who's an experienced regulator, both at EPA and on Capitol Hill, as well as a former lobbyist, Andrew Wheeler is more immersed in the details of some of these rules, and certainly he has been taking steps to ensure that they will hold up in court. So that's one of the differences we've seen between Andrew Wheeler and Scott Pruitt.
Are any organizations challenging the ruling in court?
There certainly will be groups that will sue on this. I don't believe that there has been a challenge filed yet in federal court. But what we have seen, you know, on a slew of these climate rule rollbacks is that a combination of usually Democratic attorneys general and environmental groups have challenged, often successfully in court, arguing that the administration failed to justify the reason for revisiting a rule that was already in place. And so that's likely to be the court challenge that we will see in the coming weeks.
Juliet Eilprin is Washington Post senior national affairs correspondent. Juliet, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.